Opening serve is U.S. Open tennis, and here's a sunny side of sports salute to the tall South African Kevin Anderson, who advanced to a Grand Slam quarterfinal for the first time in his career. The 29-year-old Anderson upset third-seeded Andy Murray of Britain in four sets in New York City. The final score, 7-6, 6-3, 6-7, and 7-6. Before leaving the court, Anderson had this to say to the fans in New York.
I'm a little lost for words right now. Obviously coming out here playing Andy, it's a very tough matchup. And, I just managed to keep my composure throughout and honestly played probably one of the best matches of my life. And obviously to get through to the quarterfinals for the first time here in New York feels very just amazing.
Kevin Anderson's amazing victory was definitely a career breakthrough. He had reached the fourth round of a Grand Slam event seven previous times, but was not able to advance to the quarterfinals. In the fourth set tiebreaker against Murray, Anderson won all 7 points.
At that point, having lost that third set breaker in the fourth, I was just really focused just 1 point at a time, and obviously winning that first point on my serve and then going 2 love up and hitting a really good return winner to go 3 love up, I was like, let me just get at least one of these next serve points to get both of them. Now I'm suddenly 5 love up, was able to swing a little bit on that next point, grinded out a good point. I think always with breakers, it's really just about not getting too far ahead of yourself. And I mean, not many times you're going to win at 7-0, so obviously switching ends at 6-0 is a lot more comfortable than being, 5-all, 6-all, something like that.
At the post-match news conference, Kevin Anderson was asked what he thinks the reaction will be like in South Africa to his U.S. Open success.
It will be interesting to see. I mean, I think over the last couple of years, I feel like there's been quite a bit of press following my results on the tour. And, I've always tried to, obviously there's been a lot of like Davis Cup questions regarding my participation. And, I've just always tried to point out, I just feel like, wins like this, at least when I was growing up, would have just meant a lot to see somebody from South Africa, I was looking at Wayne Ferreira and doing well on the tour itself. So, I really hope, I know that the coverage has been great. So, I'm pretty sure there'll be, quite a bit of press back home. And, that definitely feels good to see that obviously tennis is struggling a bit. So, obviously the more the better.
In the quarterfinals, Kevin Anderson will play Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland, who won this year's French Open and last year's Australian Open. In the other quarterfinal matchups, top seed and world number one Novak Djokovic will meet Feliciano Lopez of Spain. Frenchman Joe Wilfried Tsonga will face defending champion Marin Cilic of Croatia. And another Frenchman, Richard Gasquet, will go against Swiss star Roger Federer. On the women's side in New York, the marquee matchup is later Tuesday night when Venus Williams, a two-time U.S. Open champion, takes on her younger sister, Serena, who is bidding for a fourth consecutive trophy in New York and a calendar year Grand Slam. In the other quarterfinal matchups, Kristina Mladenovic of France is facing Roberta Vinci of Italy. Petra Kvitova of the Czech Republic, a two-time Wimbledon champion, will play Flavia Panetta of Italy. And Victoria Azarenka of Belarus will meet Simona Halep of Romania. The tennis action is heating up in New York, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Jay-Z courtside.
Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
New York. Hey. I'm big jungle with dreams are made of.
Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is David Legg, our African football guru. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sonny.
David, big weekend in African football. 25 qualifying matches played for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which will be hosted by Gabon. Let's go group by group and get your thoughts. In Group A, Togo travels to Djibouti and scores a 2-0 victory. And in the other group match, you kind of called this one, Liberia beats Tunisia 1-0 in Monrovia. Let's begin with the Liberians, David. You sort of hinted that they could pull off the upset.
Yes, Sonny. They're back home, thankfully, after the Ebola crisis, which prevented their national teams for some time from playing in Monrovia. And in Monrovia, Sonny, you can always say the Liberians have got a chance. They're a nation of fighters. They've overcome a lot of obstacles in various fields of life. The Tunisians, like all North African teams, are not particularly comfortable traveling south of the Sahara. I don't know, Sonny, is it a mental thing? But you'll notice quite often that a North African side that does very well against another country at home will struggle against the same country away. It was a tense time for the Liberians, though. It was 11 minutes from time when Doe scored the only goal. And that puts the Liberians right back in contention with 3 points after they lost 2-1 away to Togo in the first round. If that was a surprise, Sonny, the other match, very predictable, unfortunately, because Djibouti are among the weakest teams in the world. They are officially, according to the FIFA rankings, the weakest team in Africa. And almost a moral victory for them, in a way, restricting Togo to a 2-0 victory in Djibouti. Now, this was a Togolese team without Emmanuel Adebayor. He, of course, always has issues with the national team and specifically with the national coaches. He's up to his tricks again. He was very angry, apparently, when he was stripped of the captaincy after turning up for training very late before the Liberian match. And as a result of that, he boycotted the game in Djibouti. But nonetheless, Togo with 2 goals in the first half, 2-0 winners. The standing, Sonny, Togo on top with 6 points, Liberia and Tunisia with 3 each. Now, just a little area of confusion there from a lot of emails I get, including one today. They said, but Tunisia have got an 8-2 goal difference, in other words, plus 6. Liberia, on the other hand, have scored 2 and conceded 2, so they're 0 goal difference. And I was asked, why are Liberia on top of Tunisia? The reason is simple, Sonny. It's the head-to-head rule. So the fact that Liberia beat Tunisia puts them ahead of Tunisia. So you got Liberia second with 3 points, Tunisia third with 3 points, and Djibouti last with no points. In the next series of games, in mid-March 2016, Djibouti will host Liberia, and Tunisia will be at home to Togo.
Let's turn to Group B now, David. Madagascar playing at home, scoreless draw with Angola, and the Central African Republic defeats the visiting Democratic Republic of Congo 2-0. Your thoughts on Group B, David?
Well, Sonny, I decided I would watch the Madagascar-Angola game in Antananarivo, and I'm afraid when the final whistle blew, I wish I had not. Really boring game, but the main fault was the state of the pitch. And in fact, watching several games around Africa the weekend, I was deeply depressed at the state of some pitches. The reason, unfortunately, is a lack of pitches in most African countries. So you get too many matches being played at the various available stadia, including the national stadium. And that was clearly the case in Madagascar. The ball was bobbling around all the time. Nice control was just about impossible. And that leads, Sonny, quite often to what I call Route 1 football, where the ball is just booted almost aimlessly down the field, and they hope that the opposing defense will make a mistake. And it certainly does not make for attractive football. Angola came closest with a disallowed goal midway through the first half. And in the second half, Madagascar stung the crossbar with a really powerful shot. But I guess 0-0 was probably a fair reflection of a game, Sonny. The highlights of which are not going to take up an awful lot of space in the African Cup of Nations qualifying DVD, that is for sure. If that match was reasonably predictable, the match in Bangui produced a shock. And It's great to see the Central African Republic back on winning ways. I slammed them in mid-year on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
When they lost 4-0 away to Angola, they were lackluster. And most important of all, they didn't seem to have any heart. They didn't have the ability to fight. But a very different occasion now. A new coach and two goals in the first half, one from the penalty spot, gave them an impressive 2-0 victory over their neighbours, the Democratic Republic of Congo, who have not started Group B particularly well. They scraped past Madagascar in Kinshasa by 2-1, and now they lose 2-0 away. And we remember, of course, that back in February, DR Congo finished third behind Ivory Coast and Ghana in the 2015 Cup of Nations. The standings, Angola are out in front with 4 points. Central African Republic and DR Congo have got 3 points each. And Madagascar, a little disappointingly, just 1 point. They did very well in the recent Southern African Championship for the CASAFA Cup in South Africa. And I believe myself and a lot of other people who saw them in action were hoping maybe for a little bit more from this Malagasy side. The next fixture, Sonny, DR Congo at home to Angola and Madagascar at home to the Central African Republic.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. And David will be back later this week with more soccer-licious commentary on the recent 2017 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches played all across Africa. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sonny Sunday.